Okay.
Here we go.
It's right
about
now?
That time.
We should go now?
Anytime you're
ready.
Are
we recording? Are we on? Yeah.
Is this on?
Jason said we should be able to go on 6 or 7 seconds. All right, here we go. Hey, thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with
Jeff
Bogue.
You're welcome, Joe.
You know what? I think we might have just lost about 6 or 7 listeners as soon as I made that joke. I'm Joe Caruso, and I'm sorry, but we are glad you're here. With so many voices out there, news, social media, middle school students making silly jokes, even comedians and friends, it is tough to know what to think or make decisions. We just want to help you sort through all that noise and help you think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. Let's get into it.
Let us.
Lettuce and tomato.
We shall proceed.
I appreciate the permission. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's actually the whole reason we named this with Jeff Bogue. It's because I wasn't allowed to do a podcast on my own. So he
That's
said,
right.
If you want to be behind a microphone, I'll
Nothing
sit with
happens
you.
Unless Jeff Bogue is in the room. It's the way.
Can you imagine?
This is the way.
I can't. Well, just today, we were in a meeting together, and you were like, wait a minute. That's not on my calendar. I don't know if I can make that. I was like, no, you don't need to be there. And you're like, oh, cool.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Which happens all the time,
There's not a better feeling in the world than when you think you have to be somewhere and you find out you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
Or you think you're booked and you find out you're not booked.
Yes, I agree. Because
I am never looking for one more thing to do. Yeah. I have a friend and a wife who's hyperactive. And they're like, what are we doing? I'm like, I am super happy not doing anything.
Yep.
And I'm like, here's a big lie. This has nothing to do with our podcast or anyone.
Yep, cool.
Here's the big lie. The big lie is, if you're in charge, you get to do what you want. I never get to do what I want. And my whole day, to the minute, is scheduled.
Yep.
And I'm like, so when I find out that I can do what I want, I'm the happiest person on planet Earth.
There's probably some version out there that leadership is not being able to do what you want. Leadership is you have to do what's needed. And that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, yeah, I have my whole day scheduled out because these people need me and this issue needs me and this topic needs me and those people need me too. And that's so my day is accounted for.
Oh, I for me, vacation is I don't have to do what you tell me to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I love. I love it.
That's why I spend usually the first half of my day, my day off is Friday, and I usually spend about the first half of it doing nothing and or exactly what I want to do, and then I jump into all my responsibilities I have to do at home and stuff. But
yeah, that I just do what I want to do that day, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Heidi's got a list, and
yep.
Yeah, Brutus is very demanding.
Oh, my goodness. Well, like normal, there's no good segue from that to our question, but we'll get into our question. Our listener writes in, is hoping for some suggestions and guidance specifically about how to pray. They say, as we're all aware, the world is broken. There's things like broken marriages, broken families. There's true mental health issues with both adults and children. There's addiction, sickness, issues of lost souls, world issues, and frankly, they could go on and on. This is not a happy-go-lucky start. But my sphere of people, they say, is very broad and vast as they're still working and they travel to places as a part of their job. People feel very comfortable sharing their brokenness with them. I want to be sincere when I tell them that I'll pray for them, but at times it becomes overwhelming. I want to talk to God about each individual person, and I want to sincerely pray about his or her need, but sometimes I want to just throw my hands up and say, God, you know the needs of everyone on my list. Amen. My three here at Grace, we say pray for your three, the people you want to see come to Jesus. My three become 10. The broken marriages become many. The sick is vast. I'm actually in healthcare, so you can only imagine. God has been convicting me to beef up my prayer life. So where do I start with so many true needs in front of me? It's quite the question.
It's quite the question.
I love how much you're thinking through it. It's a very honest question. And you're grinning.
I just keep...
If you're not watching this on YouTube, Jeff's got one of those grins like he's thinking about something that has nothing to do with this.
I just keep thinking about MC Hammer. You got to pray just to make it today. You
wow. Yeah, I guess if that's rolled through your head, I now know why you're smiling. There's a 1992 reference
for
you.
Oh, yeah, a child of the 80s for sure. I think what our friend is, so first of all, I would say this, what our friend is struggling with is a pastor's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is the office of the pastorate that the Apostle Paul talks about. And then there is the giftingness of a pastor.
Yeah.
And the giftingness of a pastor, of a shepherd, most of the time in our culture, when we think about a pastor, we think about a leader and a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually not the gifting of a pastor. That's right. More the gifting of a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
The gifting of a pastor is that other people's burdens burden me, is maybe a simple way to explain it.
Yeah.
And when I, when you're hurting, I'm hurting. The gifting of an evangelist is that when I walk into a room, I see lost people. And so as they're describing like their burdens to pray, I'm like, yeah, you have a pastor's heart, an evangelist's heart. And that means that literally every human being you are around, you're thinking about what is their relationship with Christ and what is the weight on their soul. And that is that can be a burden. Like, it can burn you out. It can overwhelm you. There's ways that we would even talk about with our people who hold the office of the pastorate, about boundaries and, you know, bearing that weight and all those kind of things. So I think, first of all, the reason you're feeling what you're feeling is because God has gifted you the way that He's gifted you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the rest of us are off the hook. It means that you're going to feel this weight differently than the people around you. When I feel that weight, when I feel that burden, I have always approached prayer through my relational personality. So if you took person X marriage and you put it against my marriage to Heidi, those two relationships would not be the same. Which means that when I go to describe what I do and you go to describe what you do, that is not right or wrong. It's relational, right? So Heidi and I, like, if I know a couple and they're like, we have a date night every week and we write each other love notes every other day and we take a quarterly marriage retreat to work on the goals of our marriage. Heidi would rather go to prison. she is not like that, and I am not either. I'm like we're just not mushy people. We never have been.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm like, honey, the church wants the pastors to take a marriage retreat,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, honey, the church wants to take a marriage retreat. She's like, oh. Are we going to sit there and listen to marriage stuff? Like, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, setting her in a classroom or in a group of people is, you might as well put her in a straitjacket, you know? Now, I'm kind of the same way, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I kind of want to do what I want to do. Like, if I come home and Heidi's truck is gone, I'm like, yes. You know, like, and if I have to take a road trip, she's like, miss ya. You know, but we love each other very, very deeply, and we know how to communicate love to each other, and we actually know how to read when our personalities have gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
We're being too independent. You tracking me?
Yeah.
So I would bring that mindset into my prayer life. So somebody might have a prayer journal. My mother-in-law, Heidi's mom, did this. We still have her journals. And she would journal and pray and record answers to prayer. And, well, I'm not wired that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have prayer lists. Some people will stop and pray publicly, boldly, and loudly, et cetera, et cetera. And I would look and I would say, all that's fine. I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a list keeper. I'm not a journaler. I can't read my own writing anyway, so I wouldn't even know what I wrote down. I'm not an impromptu guy. So I'm not afraid to pray publicly, but it's not my way to meet a stranger and pray with them.
Sure.
I'm actually not super outgoing, because I'm actually pretty shy, and most people would never guess that, but I am that way. But I'm like, I need to do the work of an evangelist, and I want to bear people's burdens because I have a pastor's heart and evangelistic mind. And an evangelistic heart. So the way that I've compensated for that is I have really leaned into the pray without ceasing mindset. And so if you could be in my brain, and I'm just telling you the way that I approach this, I am talking to God almost all day, every day. But it would be like if you and I, well, we've done this show, like when we go to Africa or Brazil or whatever, like we're together and we'll talk here. Sometimes it's a conversation, sometimes it's what. And I just, that's my prayer life. Mm-hmm. I'm not a get on my knees at my bed kind of a guy. My dad was, mm-hmm. But I'm not. The way that I deal with the burden that comes with having a pastor's heart and evangelist heart is I just would talk, I'll talk to God and I'll pray. I don't say, God, you know everybody on my list, but I don't also go into detail in depth about everybody that I meet. I might say, like, Lord, help them. Mm-hmm. Boy, Lord, you know their burden. You know, I will say very short things in almost a free flow kind of a way. I talk to my sons, will tell stories about times they heard me talking. And they're like, and we didn't realize that we walked in, we realized our dad was just talking to God. That's kind of the way I am. I'm like, well, Lord, I was doing this the other night. I was driving home by myself from a thing. I'm like, well, Lord, you're going to have to intervene on this one, you know, kind of a thing. So I think what they have to do and all of us have to do with prayer is we have to find our relationship with God and how we communicate with God and find security there and find rest in it.
One of the things I hear you saying is the healthy connection with God is what's important, not the method by which you have that healthy connection. Similar like you and Heidi, I think you said you would describe your marriage as quite healthy, but it doesn't necessarily look like the next person over.
Right.
And because what I would hate to hear and what you would want to, not to hear either is our listeners saying, oh, Jeff said he doesn't pray this way, or maybe a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, oh, Jeff doesn't really talk to his wife. As a matter of fact, he's glad when his wife's not home. And now that person has an excuse to be disconnected.
That's right.
And that's not at all what Jeff or I would say, or what anybody with their head on their shoulders is trying to pursue God would say. So it's not avoiding prayer. It's not avoiding connection. It's quite the opposite, actually.
When Heidi and I were younger and you're trying to figure your marriage out, you look at other people's marriages and then you read books. Mm-hmm. Books are almost always written toward people who are having trouble with their marriage. Mm-hmm. And other people's marriages are different externally than they are internally. And I don't mean they're hypocritical, they're just different. So what happens if you weigh yourself against somebody else's best behavior, or you weigh yourself against somebody else's written expectations, you will always feel insecure. Because neither one of those things are fully achievable or normal. When you go and change the question and you say, sweetheart, do you feel loved and served and valued by me? As long as that answer is yes, then how we got to that answer is our relationship.
Yeah.
Now you can get, like we could, Heidi and I could teach a marriage class and we'd give you principles.
Sure.
Same thing with parenting, same thing in your relationship with God. There are parameters. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not having affairs. We're not hiding money. Like, there's parameters in our relationship with God. There's work that has to be done so that I can know God deeply enough to have a unique relationship with Him. But what our friend here, I think, is struggling with is, how do I care for all these people God has made me responsible for? And I would say to you, you don't. God has not made you responsible for them. He's made you aware of them. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit will own the responsibility. So I think you should interact with everybody and kind of probe around and see if they want to talk about Jesus. If they put their headphones on and don't want to talk to you, that's the Holy Spirit didn't create a moment. That's not me having a failure. Mm-hmm. If I forget to pray for someone, it's not going to withdraw God's will from their life. Prayer is more for me than it is for God.
Yep.
And so this is where the praying without ceasing for me has come in, where I'm like, I want to have a burden for all people at all times. Mm-hmm. Prayer reminds me of that. Yep. And lets me participate in that. But if I forget to pray for somebody, or I don't get to know the person behind me in the Dunkin' Donuts line, it's not like, well, I guess they don't get their healing.
Right.
So all of that is relational, mm-hmm. right? If I lie to Heidi and go out of town, she'll care a ton. If I need to work and go out of town, she won't care at all. Mm-hmm. If she gets up and stomps out of her room and doesn't give me a kiss goodnight, I'm going to be like, what's our problem? If she falls asleep on the couch and doesn't give me a kiss goodnight, mm-hmm. see, it's all relational.
Yeah.
And working that and resting in that in our relationship with God is how we answer all of the shouldn't I do or doesn't God want me to do questions. Mm-hmm. Are all answered in the security of that relationship.
I love that you're talking about it being relational, and I love that you reminded us that prayer is for us, not for God. God knows already what's going on.
Yeah.
And Romans 8 even says, like, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, and He Himself intercedes for all these things and does that. But just the other day, I had a fascinating example of this. It was kind of one of those quick in-the-car prayers. I was actually on the phone with somebody, and all of a sudden, it kind of went quiet. And I'm like, hey, Jeff, you know, like, you still there? And all of a sudden, I just hear this, oh, and I'm like, what happened? They were in a wreck.
Oh, wow.
Now, it wasn't their fault. Like, the police, like, yeah, it was definitely not your fault, man. It wasn't because he was on the phone. Like, just make sure that's all out of the way. He had his phone on a thing, and it was all speaker. But, like, in that real time, as I'm trying to navigate, he's just in a wreck. He's got to talk to the cops. He's got to figure out all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I can hang up and just pray for him, or I did say a quick prayer, and I felt God was like, your afternoon, just kind of like at the beginning of this episode, your afternoon just freed up, go be with him, you're 5 minutes away. So I just drove over to where he was.
Yeah.
And I hung out with him for about 45 minutes, and I felt like that was ironically the answer to my prayer. He wasn't better or healthier, his car still totaled, the other person was still fine, like all the rest, but he sensed a,
yeah.
Oh, I'm not forgotten. The people of God are with me, blah, 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 blah. Matter of fact, he texted me about it this morning. He's like, just, you can't know how much that meant to me that you just came and hung out with me while that was all going on.
Yeah.
And so the prayer wasn't, God, would you miraculously fix his car? God, would you miraculously make sure in retrospect that they're all okay? The prayer was, God, is there anything I should do that would reflect your heart in this moment? And I actually felt like I was like, just go be with him.
I love that story because the Holy Spirit just guides you or prompts you to go do that.
Yep.
And we do this on staff all the time. Mm-hmm. We work wildly hard to keep track of the people who come to Grace mm-hmm. Church and to care for them. And it's impossible.
Yep.
So I have said, you've heard me say this 1,000 times as staff, the prayer is not get out the list and pray for everybody. The prayer is, Holy Spirit, will you prompt me if I am missing them?
Yep.
If somehow we our paths have not crossed and they need me or they have a problem, would you put that person on my mind? And then I do this all the time. I will very quickly pray for them and reach out to them. Mm-hmm. And I bet you some of our listeners have gotten random texts from Pastor Jeff. And I'll say, I was praying for you this morning.
Yep.
Just checking in, seeing how you're doing. And I, our friend here who's struggling with this a little bit, I'm like, that's another way where you're like, Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray without ceasing. You put on my heart and my mind the specifics, the individual, the repetition, the consistency. And then you're just because prayer is communing with God. Mm-hmm. And that communion happens.
Yeah.
But I can't stress enough, guys, it's all relationship with God. Every time I talk about something like this, I always wish I had better words because I can't describe it enough. I was talking to Heidi one time, and she said to me, I think it was a compliment. She said to me, she said, "You are the most guilt-free person I've ever met." And it's true. I don't feel guilt. I'll feel conviction.
Sure. Yep.
But I'm like, I don't feel guilt. I don't feel shame. She was like, "How are you like this?" And what I didn't say it like this. I said it in a much more loving and patient way. But I've often thought about the question, and the answer is, I trust my Father, and my earthly father helped this so much for me. He never held things over my head. He would say, "If you do this, this. If you don't, this." But he was never like, if you don't help me out, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so he helped me understand that God doesn't hold things over my head. He'll tell me consequences or blessing. But I understand that relationally. Mm-hmm. I understand serving God relationally. I understand tithing relationally. And I understand prayer relationally, and the list will go on and on. And if you can ask the Lord to help get you to that place where I don't view Him as an obligation, I don't live in fear of like, crap, I messed this up, but like I get to spend time with my Father all day, and if I do that in an imperfect way, my Father's actually like, I just really enjoy spending the day with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and if I can rest in that, it really changes my whole relationship and interaction with God.
That's, I mean, that should be like the life goals of all of our listener, and I think so much of why we would even commend, like, yeah, get into the scriptures. Make sure you're in some rhythm of prayer with God and communicating with Him. Wrestle these things and talk with other believers about your faith and how you're doing these things. Go out and care for, love, and share what God is doing to other people. It's because the more and more you do that, the more and more you sense how God is working in and through you and with you. Like, part of why you have that confidence is because you've had those rhythms of some kind over the last 3.5 decades of, yeah, I need to have these conversations with God. Now, there's one unique thing here that I think is very interesting that I just thought of right before you said that. As I'm re-looking at this listener's question, I actually wonder how much their presence is an answer to that person's prayer.
Yeah, it's huge.
Because they're like, maybe in their brokenness, or maybe in their desperate need, or maybe in their diagnosis, they're like, I just wish someone understood me, saw me, that I didn't feel so alone. And like you said, I find myself in these positions all the time.
Yeah.
God is, you have this merciful heart that He's given you.
Yep.
You have this compassionate shepherd's heart that He's given you. And apparently He's given you a vehicle of your life to regularly be in these conversations. Yep. So in some ways, I think you can feel that guiltless burden lifted because God is answering the prayers of that person and yours by putting you in those conversations.
And there's an assurance that you can have that if God puts you there, His purposes will be accomplished regardless of how good you are at them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and so you can go to your friend's side without being a licensed psychologist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just being there and it's resting in all of that. But yeah, like that's what I'm trying to say. Like there's a spiritual giftedness. There's a responsiveness to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's not that they're better at this and other people are terrible at it, although we should all challenge each other. It's like, no, this is a giftedness. Mm-hmm. And it's the gifting of shepherding. Mm-hmm. It's the gifting of an evangelist who thinks a certain way. Others of us have to do the work of shepherding and the work of an evangelist, mm-hmm. and because we have other gifts, and it's a joy. That Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. Mm-hmm. When it feels like a guilt, a shame, or a failure, you're actually struggling to understand the heart of your Father who sent you there. Mm-hmm. That's not the outcome.
Yep.
That he would want you to have. And the way that I have found a release in that outcome is to rest in the loving nature who God is in my relationship with him.
Yeah. Part of the prayer is giving those things over to God, not taking them back from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, if you've got questions like this that you'd love us to dig into, go to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them over our way. We'd love to start dialoguing about these things. And if these are helping you, don't be a stranger. Let us know. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review it, and help others find it too. Of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, where we'll be seeking after God and all these different ways that we talked about today. And thanks for jumping in with us as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.